Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, and welcome to The Collective. I am your host, Magenta Ash. I am co-host here with my best friend in the world, Joey. Say hello, Joey.
Hello. It's nice to be back.
Yay! Ow, I just hurt my mouth. But tonight we're going to talk about ghost sex and other strange phenomena. So, ghost sex. I guess it's a thing. Supposedly it happens.
I was going to say, what would be stranger than ghost sex, but I can't think of anything, really.
Yeah. I was researching it just real quickly, and there's an actual, like, fetish called spectrophilia, and spectrophilia is the sexual attraction to ghosts or sexual arousal from images in a mirror. Also, the phenomena of sexual encounters between ghosts and humans. I don't know. Yeah.
So does that mean, like, you look in a mirror and you get turned on by yourself? It's the same thing.
I can't. You get all, Buffalo Bill on it.
I don't like how being turned on by yourself in a mirror is the same as, like, banging a ghost. I don't like how that's, like, lumped in as the same thing. That's like saying, oh, I like fish, and then saying, on my penis as well, and saying that's the same thing. It's weird.
I guess, I continue reading this little thing. It says, spectrophiliacs fantasize about ghosts and often imagine scenarios involving sexual events between themselves and other spirits. I do apologize, everyone. I have a staph infection on my face, so I apologize if my words are all messed up. But apparently, there's a succubus and the incubus that you know of. That's a spirit that's supposed to seduce people. But just recently, I've read a couple articles of actual people claiming to have a lifelong affair with a ghost. It's kind of weird.
The one thing this reminds me of, especially since you brought up incubus, it's the episode of Ghost Adventures in England. When Zach keeps, like, telling the incubus to, like, touch him, and the incubus is, like, the male version.
Yeah, I know, and they keep trying to correct him.
He keeps doing it, yeah, and he's like, no, the incubus is touching me, and everyone's, like, laughing. But seriously, that place, man, there are so many places in, like, England and the islands there that I would love to visit and just, I could probably spend the rest of my life in just like Ireland and Scotland and England just fucking around.
I think I would be instantly paralyzed because of all the history. Like, there's so much, I don't know, I feel like there's so much history and bloodshed, more so probably in, the East, Eastern world than there is in the West. So I think I'd be constantly, freaked out.
Jumping completely off the subject of the show, talking about that, they discover, a species of human this week that, sets human history back, another 10,000 years prior to what mainstream science believes. So in the real world, there's no telling how many thousands of years it sets it back, because there's countless pyramids and civilizations buried under the sands in Egypt. And, you know, humanity is literally tens of thousands of years older than we learned in school. And Columbus never discovered America. The Vikings did from the east, and yeah, but that's not going to be in any history books.
Well, I mean, most intelligent people know that history isn't really the 100% version. Yeah, it's all written by people in power. So, but getting back on the ghost subject, I guess I'll give the guest call-in number if someone has a ghostly sexual encounter they want to talk about. Our guest call-in number is 516-387-1909. So definitely call in and tell us about your sexual encounter with a ghost.
It doesn't
My thing
it
is,
have to be a ghost. It can be a demon, a vampire, anything that's not an animal person at the moment it happened.
I mean, we could talk about animals.
I love my cat. No one should ever have sex with animals. Isn't
People
that right,
do, though.
Kid? Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, back in Bible days, you know, shepherds were, you know, that was just a part of the, you know, program. You're out with your sheep, you're a little lonely. Vagina. Sheep vagina.
People also had sex with family members going by the Old Testament because, you know, Adam and Eve's kids had the sex with Eve, if you go by that. So we're all from one incestuous bloodline.
That sounds like a bad scenario right there. That's why I'm not sure if I believe in the whole Adam and Eve creation story. I don't think there was actually one man and one woman. But that's just me, you know.
Oh, well, there was one man and one woman after the aliens messed with their DNA.
Oh, no. Now you're getting into a whole different other subject. Oh, so I guess I can read or kind of summarize. I don't know if this person wants me to read word by word his experience, but I had sent out, oh, looks like we have a call in. Hello?
Hello. This is Frank.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I was unable to hear your show. I was trying to listen to it. I knew it was starting, but I couldn't get it through anyway. I knew you were talking about ghost experiences and that sort of thing, but I didn't want to interrupt what you were going to read, if you were going to read something.
Oh, no. We can actually postpone that if you want to tell us a ghost story. That's fine.
A ghost story, yeah. Well, it's back in Livermore. It's kind of a weird place anyway. There's this stretch of road between there and Tracy with windmills and stuff, and there's a lot of weird sort of what I like to call strange energy out there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think that attracts a lot of back, and when we did live there, my mother had experiences where she said that she had felt something coming into the room, and there would be this weight on the bed, like, you know, she could feel somebody sitting onto the bed with her, and then she would be attacked. And I wouldn't call it sex. It's not ghost sex. I would say this is spirit rape. But, yeah, she never really described too much of it to me because I don't think she wanted to freak me out or anything, but it happens. She's a very credible person. I know all people are going to believe their mother, but you know, she was very skeptical, I guess, about pretty much everything. But when you experience something firsthand, you know, and there's just no explanation, logical explanation for what's happening, the only thing left is, okay, well, what else is there, you
I haven't
Did she
had,
have
had
a... Pardon?
Oh, sorry, go ahead. I wasn't going to ask, did it happen often, or was it just like a one-time encounter?
She said it happened more than once. Yeah, more than once. And this house was kind of weird. I had some of their experiences myself there. Nothing like that. They would come to me or come to the window and knock, and they couldn't get past the window. But I had a pretty solid room. I'll put it that way. But the experiences that I have had that were sort of similar to that were I was visiting out of town, going to a funeral, and I did have a spirit try to attack me while I was out. It was sort of similar. It was a ghost, or more appropriately, I should say, a spirit, because I don't think this was an echo. This was a spirit that appeared in the room. And I say appeared, I didn't really see it so much as I felt it. And I thought it was at first my dead relative. And I asked, well, what do you want? What do you come here for? And immediately I was attacked. It wasn't sexual in nature, but it was on me, and I couldn't move. And, you know, that sort of half state feeling where you're like, I guess they call it dream paralysis or something. It was something like that where you can't move. But there was definitely something trying to draw energy out of me.
Wow. I've had something like, you know, I guess they call it like a hag attack where, and this, you know, they say, oh, it's because you're halfway in between sleep and, you know, your body's stuck and whatnot. But no, like I was completely awake and, you know, I had something, you know, a weight on my chest and I couldn't move. And then, you know, lasted a couple seconds, it was gone. And then I was up and like, whoa, did that just happen? But, you know, it wasn't like I was sleeping or anything. I was actually just, I don't know, I think I was reading a book or something when I was younger.
You're not really asleep. It's halfway there, but not really.
Yeah. Mm. It's weird, definitely, once you experience something like that. Because, you know, it was just such a weird encounter. But I would wonder, my question is why a spirit would want to have any kind of, you know, sexual, you know what I mean? Like, you would think that would be more of a physical need or desire.
Yeah, driven by
the
body. It does make more sense. Yeah, I see your point exactly. But I don't think that, like I said, this is not about sex. This is about rape. And rape is about power. I think that these spirits are on a power trip.
It's quite scary because, you know, if you believe in any kind of energy, you know, like a succubus or an incubus where they, you know, are feeding off your energy of some sort, you know, that's quite scary.
Yeah. And the immediate reaction is, you know, pull away, you know. Or,
yeah.
But you can't move. And so you're like trying to push it off. And then when you're pushing, of course, pushing it, the energy goes out of you. And that's worse. So, what I found finally in that encounter was that I had to pull on it. And then it disengaged and left.
I wonder how, you know, do you have any methods of protection? I mean, after that, did you research how
after
to protect
that,
yourself?
You know, because I was in a hotel room and I didn't have anything really there, not even like salt. I didn't do anything that there, no. But, you know, I spoke before about they couldn't get in my room. Yeah, there are things that you can do to keep them out. I'm not sure why these methods work. I've supposed that the crystal formation of the salt somehow diffuses the energy, or, you know, keeps them, disrupts them somehow. So if you put the salt circle around in the where you sleep, they can't cross over that. And huh. I'd put wards in a charged oil over the windows, and they couldn't get through.
Huh.
I know that's really out there, but if there's anything to be said for it, it actually did keep my room from being invaded.
Yeah.
If that was my own then supposition that if that couldn't happen, then I didn't imagine it happening, you could go there. But, you know, my mom's recounts of these things happening to her, they kind of coincided with the knocking on the windows. And I think there's something to it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just, you know, a spirit that in life was power hungry. So, you know, they're in death the same way, you know, just kind of stuck in a cycle of feeding off of, you know, fear and all that kind of, because people, you know, there's a, you know, a vast majority of people who do that to some extent, you know, feed off of people's
sanity, I think. Yeah. They don't feel they have enough in their own life, and they don't, you know, take it out on other people. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all know those people that are like instant Debbie Downers and negative all the time and create drama just to feed off of it. Not to talk bad about my grandmother, but she's that kind of person. Like, she is always negative about everything. And it's just like you're in a room with her, and she, like, she's an energy vampire. She is sucking the energy out of the room. So, and I don't know if people, yeah, I'm sure there's people that are aware that they do that, but then I don't think there's, you know, there's some people that don't have a clue that they're that, you know, negative.
You
like
can
a black
do it
hole.
Unintentionally. Sure, that can happen.
I
you know, people can get out of balance like that. Anybody can, really. I mean, I'm not going to go on this tangent because I have a lot to say on this subject. And you have 12 minutes or 11 minutes left.
Yeah.
And you wanted to read something. So I'll save that for another call-in at some time.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, definitely give us a call back. I guess I can read this little story that someone sent me. I had put my feelers out to different places to see if anybody would email me or even call the show. And a guy emailed me, and I won't say names or anything, but his story is really sad. Him and his wife were married for a couple of years. Things were going fine. They moved into a new house, and then that's when, like, their entire relationship pretty much dissolved. At first, she was just really depressed, and he thought it had to do with maybe moving or something of that sort. So they, you know, tried counseling. She was just really depressed. Like, she wouldn't actually leave her room at some point. So, yeah, he was one, I guess he doesn't believe in, or didn't believe at that point, in the supernatural. And she eventually broke down and told him that while he was at work, you know, she would be in the house cleaning or watching TV. And it started out really small. Like, things like she would hear some steps on the stairs, or there'd be knocking in the bedroom. But it pretty much progressed into her being, you know, physically and sexually assaulted by, like, you know, by a phantom. So she broke down and told him this, And, you know, at first he was like, you're crazy. You know, what are you telling me? You know, are you seeing someone? And he's like, okay, so we'll prove, you know, she's like, I'm not lying to you. It's real, and she, I guess, showed him bruises on her arm that looked like a handprint. And he was like, well, you know, I'm going to catch her cheating. So he put up like a little, he said it was like a teddy bear camera that they do for like nannies, and put it in their bedroom because I guess that's where she said things were happening. So he reviews the tape after some time, and sure enough, like, he literally sees his wife get knocked down from behind, and I guess she was, I'm assuming she was out in the shower, because he was like, there was something on top of her, and she was fighting it, and, you know, he was absolutely terrified of what he saw. So the next step was, he was a Christian, and he took the video to his priest, and they decided to do a cleansing of the house and a blessing, and she got blessed herself, but unfortunately, I guess 6 months later, he came home, and she was in the tub, and she had supposedly killed herself, but drowned. So I'm not sure if that story is true, but if it is, it's, you know, that's hardcore scary right there.
Yeah, do you suppose the spirit killed her, or do you think that she killed herself over what had happened?
I mean, it seemed like from his viewpoint, it was something more deviant than just her killing herself, you know?
Yeah.
He said in the email that she had been, seemed like she was getting better, and there hadn't been any kind of encounters. And,
yeah,
you know.
Well, especially if the attacks were around the bathtub anyway. I don't know if that was what was happening, but.
Yeah, it's just, you know, from what he was telling me, he's like, you know, please, you know, you can share the story, just leave my name out of it. He's like, this stuff does happen, and it's, you know, it literally killed my wife. So either she thought she was crazy, maybe, and was so depressed that she killed herself, or, you know, something that negative, you know.
Something got through. Mm.
Yeah. So,
that's creepy.
I was really shocked. Yeah, I was really shocked to get that kind of email, you know, and he seems like he wasn't just making up a story. So,
no.
There was pictures of him and her in the email. So,
and
very sad.
This video exists somewhere, so I'd be kind of curious to see if it was available somewhere.
Yeah,
there's evidence.
Yeah, maybe I can email him, and I didn't want it to do bad taste, you know.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, where's this video? This is really happening.
Well, no, it's not a matter of proof. It's a matter of evidence. I didn't mean evidence of proof. I meant evidence of a paranormal phenomenon happening.
Yeah.
You know, and people are interested in that, so.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, maybe I could text him back and see how he would feel about, or if he's, you know, let anyone see that kind of evidence. I don't know. I know that my mom was a hippie, so she did drugs, okay? But back in her day, and my mom, at one point we were talking about ghosts and things, and I know I've mentioned it before, but my mom had either a really good imagination, or my mom had some scary stuff happen to her. She talks about, she lived in Houston at the time. She just moved down here. She rented a apartment that was in a house, you know, so it was like a makeshift apartment. And it was like downtown Houston. area. And my mom started hearing voices, like whispers. And she thought it was the neighbors. And then it proceeded to be she was having nightmares. And it was more like the hag where you feel something on your chest or you feel, you know, that kind of stuff. And in the nightmares, she would see like three people cloaked in black chanting around her bed. So my mom eventually had to move out because she was just terrified. But when she tells the story, like when she told me the story, and there's other stories that she's told me, she literally will like cry, or, you know, she like broke down. So I'm not sure, you know, obviously she experienced something, but she literally said that she was attacked a couple times in the house. So kind of weird. Definitely, it's always different when someone you know and trust tells you, an encounter like that. It's like, oh, I have to believe them. But Joey, I know we have 3 minutes, but do you got any stories? He's been quiet.
I've been listening. You know, I guess the closest I've come is actually having things be thrown across the house a few times. My mom was in the bathroom, and like one of those huge packs of like 8 rolls of toilet paper and stuff like flew off the shelf and smacked her in the head. Like, that's a few feet. And I actually sat here on the couch and saw a broom that was on the far wall in the kitchen fly across the room and land beside her where she was standing. You know, that's as close as I've come. I've seen, you know, the shadowy figures in my bedroom before and had them, like, shoot up and just stand there and just, like, lean down like they're watching. And then there's the thing that I've encountered a few times, but thankfully that's not something you want to see in your house. I still don't know what that thing was, but, you know, I'm...
Can you describe it?
It was like a person from the feet up to the neck, and it had the head of, like, some sort of animal with huge antlers.
Interesting.
I've been told that it's anything from something demonic to some sort of nature spirit, but the reaction...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the reactions that the people I live with in Florida saw it without me even telling them the story, and they claimed that it had been in my apartment, and it had been, like, running through the shadows trying to get to them. I've never told them the story about it. It just, went, like, I'd seen it here. I live in Tennessee, and, you know, I never even, like, thought of it anymore. And it was a couple of years later when I lived in Florida, and I didn't see it personally at this time, but they all saw it without hearing the story. They described it perfectly, and it seemed really aggressive towards them, like, really, like, it was out to get them. And I've never understood why.
That would be interesting.
We can continue
in our lives.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Go ahead. No, you're going to wrap up because it's like 35.
Well, I was going to say we can continue talking. It will cut off live though. So everyone, if you want to, listen
so
to more, we can stay on for
on
a couple. Hi.
It usually hangs up on me eventually.
Really? Well, we'll see what it does. But because last time we went over and it just, you know, played. So it's still letting us be on. It said we're off air. So
I was just going to say that it would be interesting to compare how their lives were different from the one that were... in the previous tenants there,
you know, how they react to each person and what was the trigger that was causing the animosity from that spirit.
Well, I know that they were all into drugs and everything, and I wasn't. So that may have been, I don't know.
Well, punishing them for taking drugs, I don't think so. But maybe there were other things that they were doing that were linked to their lifestyle that it didn't approve of.
I haven't seen it personally since 2006, and I hope and pray that I'd never see it again.
The funny thing to this is that my boyfriend Corey just never heard the story about what Joey saw. And then one night we were on the road going back to Houston, and we were talking about his dad who lived in Florida back in the 70s, and that him and his friends were out in, like, the swamplands or whatever, marshlands, and they were all smoking weed, of course, but I guess his dad was with a group of friends, and they were driving along, and his dad looked and saw exactly the same thing that Joey described. It looked like a person, but it had the head and antlers and glowing red eyes. Yeah, and that he saw it and just, like, zoomed off, and, like, no one else saw it, but he did. And it's so weird because, you know, there was, like, there's no connection. There's no way for that story to have anything to do with, you know, Joey's story, but it does. They literally saw the same thing. So that's kind of weird.
That is interesting.
Yeah. When he was telling me the story, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly the same. He described the same thing.
He was
on
the road, though, and he could have been a deer, perhaps.
He says it was.
And the light catching in its retinal refraction, maybe.
I mean, of course I wasn't there, I don't know, but as Corey, his dad described it, was it was on two legs. It was as tall as a person.
A deer facing you appears to be on two legs.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I
got to put the devil's advocate thing out there and
of course.
You know, I got, I try to explain it naturally first, you know, and then when you can't explain it naturally, you have to consider the other possibilities.
I want to tell myself that it was just a deer, but the fact that they saw the thing and I never even mentioned it, that's kind of what freaks me out.
Yeah, I imagine it would.
Yeah, that would freak me out. I think I would.
I don't have any weird nightmares tonight.
Oh no, yeah, I'm a chicken. So if I saw something like that, I'd be out. I'd be gone. I'd probably push Joey down in the ground and be like, drop my phone, and I'd be out of there.
That's like when I saw Bigfoot in Oklahoma. I like ran ahead, grabbed the girl, and drug her behind me.
Well, at least you were dragging her behind you.
Yeah.
At least you had some, you know, heroic intentions. I don't know, it was like I was 14 or 15, and in Independence, Missouri, there is a mansion called the Vell Mansion, and it's supposedly really haunted. It was built in the 1800s by a German engineer. He came over here with his wife. Well, the story goes, he built this really big mansion for her, and she was one of those clinically depressed kind of women. And so apparently a couple of years after they tried to have kids, she couldn't get pregnant, she hung herself in the tower. There's like a bell tower. And it isn't, you know, reported. It actually happened. It's, you know, in the newspapers. So we would go every year at Halloween and try to, you know, sneak a peek inside. And we went, it was four or five of us, and I had my brother, who was like two or three, in a stroller with us. And we get up to it, and I don't know, someone said they saw something. You know how kids are. We freak out. Me, I freak out. I leave everybody. I leave my brother behind. I pretty much, like, black out and wake up two or three blocks away hiding between two trash cans. So that's me. Always warn anybody. Anything happen?
I'm not going ghost hunting with you in New Orleans at all, because I know what will happen now.
Yeah, if anything, you know, I will warn you up front. I will leave you behind. I'm sorry.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I will call in again another time.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you for calling in and giving us your stories, and definitely call back.
Yes, likewise. Your stories were interesting, and I'd like to hear more about them later. Okay.
Sure.
Good night.
All right. Thank you. Oh, that was called out. Anyways, we should probably wrap this up since we went over time. Hopefully this is still recording so people can listen to it when we in the archives. But, Joey, we will definitely have to talk more about ghost sex and other things. And just to let everyone know who's listening, we're going to have some very interesting guests later on this month. So definitely tune in. And you guys all have a wonderful night.